Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name this morning. For God is good and greatly to be praised. Praising God today with you as we move forward in the Word of God. We're going to be a little different this morning than our normal Sundays. We're going to start in our Psalms word today and not in our New Testament word. So bear with me this morning as we start in Psalms and Proverbs, and we're going to do Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and then we will do our New Testament word, giving God honor, glory, praise this morning, for God gave us a do-over. Hallelujah. And I pray this morning that your today is better than your yesterday, in the name of our Savior Christ Jesus. Father God, we are lifting up your name today, lifting up the name of the Lord God, lifting up the name of Jehovah, lifting up the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lifting up you, Father God, in the Holy Spirit. Thanking you, Lord, for a new day, for a day that will be better than yesterday. Lord God, I pray that your word goes forth, that it touches hearts, minds, and spirits. And those that hear your word, Lord God, will seek you, will want to be a part of your kingdom, will want to be saved by the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father God, I pray as we move forward in your word this morning, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Father God, that my words be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God Almighty, you are my strength. And you are my Redeemer. And I pray your increase as I decrease, Lord God. Let this word touch a heart, mind, and a spirit, that whomever may hear will be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanking God for salvation and asking God this morning to watch over those that are in the area of these storms that are happening, that are in the areas of massive COVID outbreaks. I pray the Lord God watches over our children as they are going back to school and in school, and that they will be safe from all hurt, harm, and danger vaccinated today, that those that may get this horrible virus, that they will not leave this earth unless it is their time. For I have no power over anybody's time, only our Father does. So let us give God honor. Let us give God glory. And let us give our Father God, hallelujah, praise this morning and always, in the name of our matchless Savior, Jesus Christ. As we go through this word, I pray that this word touches your heart, touches your mind, and touches your spirit. Amen. Let's get started, y'all, because it is what? Say it with me. A good word this morning. So let's get started. And the word today is coming out of Psalms, and we'll just go until we get to Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5, which is where our title comes from today. So grab your word, and it says this, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. And I know I'm not the only one that has been overwhelmed, that has had some affliction, that has been feeling like everything is pouring down at one time on them. I know I'm not the only one that is not, that has had problems where I've just had to reach out to God. That's daily. We all have daily situations where we have to reach out to God and lift up the name of Jesus. And the word that David spoke is this, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. And I'm sure that's what Job felt like when we were in the book of Job last week and week before. For my days are consumed like smoke and my bones are burned like hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my flesh, are cling to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me, for I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time of favor, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor in her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. I ask God not to despise our prayer, for the Lord knows everything about us. And I'm going to read that word one more time. And it just says this. Highlightable. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. And our word for this morning, the title that God gave me for our word, we'll be getting to shortly. And it says this in Psalms 102:18-28. This will be written for the generations to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For he looked down from the heights of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakens my strength in the way. He shortens my days. I said, oh my God, me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. they will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And we are in Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. And I love this word. And I pray this word. And I lift up this word. Bless the Lord. Say it with me, y'all. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bridget, hallelujah. And all that is within me, Bridget. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forgetting all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. And I'm going to say Bridget on that one. Who heals all your diseases, Bridget. Who redeems your life from destruction, Bridget. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, Bridget. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, Bridget. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles, Bridget. We got to make this word personal. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. That is our word for this morning. That's the title of our lesson today. As we continue in our word, we're going to Proverbs. And then we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And then we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And it says this in our proverb this morning. Proverbs chapter 24. Actually, let's go back a little bit. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 1. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Does that sound familiar? Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in multitude of counselors there is safety. And I have just read for your reading Proverbs chapter 24, verses 1 through 5 through 6. Proverbs 24, verses 1 through 6. And let us go into let's go through some life lessons from Psalms and Proverbs this morning. But this word has been just a great word. And in Psalms 102, Proverbs 24 and 2, it says, their heart devises violence and their lips talk of troublemaking. It may seem like the wicked have better lives than we do, but it is a big mistake to envy them. In the end, they have nothing. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73:26. We read that, and that's a great word. And I'm going to read it one more time. But God, say it with me, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. One more time for the Holy Spirit. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73:26. Ooh, that's a word by itself. And as we continue in our life lessons of Psalms and Proverbs, Psalms 102:18, a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Most of us reading this are the people yet to be created. Spoken of in this verse, you are a fulfillment of prophecy. But to fulfill it completely, you must be in the habit of praising the Lord. Are you? I love praising the Lord because I know where my God has brought me from. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for the do-over. And I pray today is better than my yesterday. And my yesterday was pretty doggone good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this, the word says in Psalms 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. God wants every part of us, body, soul, and spirit, to grow close to him and to enter into a joyful relationship with him. He seeks worshipers who will gladly give everything they are to him. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that Dr. Stanley life lesson one more time in our word for today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And as Dr. Stanley says, God wants every part of us, body, soul, to grow close to him and to enter into a joyful relationship with him. He seeks worshipers who will gladly give everything they are to him. Hallelujah. Give to God what is due God, all of you. Give to God what is due God, all of you. God wants all of us. He doesn't want a part. He doesn't want us to help the skelter, to give him a little bit here and a little bit there. God wants all of us. He loves us like that. He wants the best for us. He wants the best for us. And when I say that my yesterday was pretty good, my Chicago Bears won 27-24 against God. We got a 2-1 right now in our preseason, and I'm praying that our little Mr. Field in Soldier Field will do a great job as our quarterback. One day I believe that young man will be the number one, and he may be number one sooner than later. So if you're a Chicago Bear fan, say, whoa, look at him go. Hallelujah. So let's get back into what we're here for, which is the word of God. And we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and then we will be going over to our First Corinthian word this morning. And it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, a good name is better than precious ointment. And I wanted to use that as my title as of last day, yesterday, when I was working on the lesson. And God wouldn't let me. Because we got to, I'm by the Lord. We got to give God glory this morning. We got to bless the Lord. Oh, our souls, my soul, I bless the Lord. And all that is within me, I got to bless his holy name. Because to get his holy name, hallelujah, when you bless his holy name, he gives you a good name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because my old me is not my new me. The old Bridget is not the new Bridget. Hallelujah. We got to ask God to renew in us a clean heart and a righteous spirit every day. Father God, we have to ask him to bless our humble hearts. We got to be humble unto the Lord. But God is good, and his mercy is enduring forever and all times. And a good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. Because we know absence from the body, this earthly shell that houses our spirit. is in the presence of our Most High God. Hallelujah. And so the day of death, better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. That also is vanity. Like they, Solomon's going through some stuff. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Praise the Lord, and you better preach it. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun, for wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. Of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the work of God. Hallelujah. For who can make straight what he has made crooked? And I'll answer that question. No one. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. God gives us the good, God gives us the bad, and God gives us the ugly. God gives us adversity just as he gives us prosperity. We got to thank God in the midst of all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, what I'm going through, because I pray, Lord, that it will make me better, that from my mess will come a message, hallelujah, and from my stress will come a blessed me, hallelujah. Days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. And we have seen that. We've seen good people die young, and evil old folks. But you know what? It's all right, because we all will have to stand before God. The old and the young will have to stand before God. Verse 16 of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Again, so heavenly minded and no earthly good. And it goes on to tell us, do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? Come on now. It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. For there is not a who does good and does not sin. Because we're not perfect. We are all fallible. We're all transitioning to get to perfection so we can get to God. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart is known that even you have cursed others. You better preach it. And this I have proved by wisdom. I say I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death. The woman whose heart snares and nets, whose hands are fetters, who pleases God shall escape from her. He who pleases God shall escape from her. The sinner shall be trapped by her. Here is what I have found, says the preacher. adding one thing to the other to find out the reason, which my soul shall seek, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Truly the only one I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Ooh, what a word. What a word. Again, we got to remember, Solomon is going through. He has done some things, married the wrong women, had the wrong concubines, made many wicked children, and does not understand that all that he built, all that he amassed, is going to someone who will not appreciate the blessings that they have, will not honor God of their father David, will go on to do some wicked, wicked things and marry some wicked, wicked women just like their daddy did. Just and sacrifice to idols and false gods. And I think Solomon in his wisdom is seeing all the opulence in the world means nothing if your soul is not right with God. It means nothing if your soul's not right with God. And as you said in our word on Friday, there's a time for everything under heaven. Time to live and a time to die. Or a time to be born and a time to die. Time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance. And I'm just pulling some things out. And as we know, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And we ask God daily for the latter, that we will be born, but that when we die, we'll be absent from this body and in his presence, that we will laugh, that we will dance, that we will love and not hate. We will hate the sin and not the sinner. And that peace will be better than war. So let's get into our Corinthians word. And we are starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll be reading verses 20 through 40. And as we go forth into 8 and 9, God willing, this morning. And again, I want to clarify. This is Paul speaking what Paul believes. And this is what Paul says. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. But he was called in the Lord while slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, who is called while free is Christ's slave. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Now concerning virgins. I have no commandment from the Lord. Notice, what did he say? I have no commandment from the Lord. Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that it is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. A virgin. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say to your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. And I'm just going to be honest. What Paul is saying is true. When you do not have a husband, you put your focus more on the Lord. Whereas when you have a husband and husbands have wives, they do put their focus on their wives. But the Lord God has said to us that a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. So I'm in just a little bit disagreement with Paul on this. I believe that a man who finds a wife finds favor with God, and that a man or a woman who loves God, and a husband and a wife who love God more than they love even each other, are going to do what they need to do for God. Because now, instead of one working hard for God, you have two working hard for God. But like I said, that's my belief. Because Paul is giving what he feels, and that's just how I feel. I think when two become one, that they are stronger than one by them. And our word has told us that in Ecclesiastes, that when it's two, if one falls, there's somebody to pick them up. If one stumbles, there's somebody to minister to that stumble. You know, I just believe. You know, I'm not Paul, but I believe that God created marriage and that you are stronger as two, even though we are strong as one, because when we are one, it is just us and God through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And God is stronger than any husband. But I don't believe that God means for people to be alone, for women to be without men, and men to be without women as wives and husbands and wives. That's me. That's not Paul, because as Paul continues, but she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say to your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but that for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. And again, he's correct in that. But I feel desires for you to have a wife or husband, and you both love God equally, that your strength as one will be right there with one, not distracted. That's just, again, how me, how I feel. But then as Paul goes on to say, but if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. So that's something that you have to pray about, think about, and let God guide you. You know, because Paul is saying what Paul believes, and Paul is throwing out his own way of thinking. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in 1 Corinthians 7 and 20, let each one remain the same calling in which he was called. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, I serve God if only I had a better job, a better home, a better spouse, a better position. Ever hear any of anything like this? We all have. If I had more money, I would serve God more. If I had a better house, I would serve God more. If I had a better job, I would serve God more. If I had more time, I would serve God more. We've heard all these excuses. But then this is what Dr. Stanley said, ever hear anything like this? Paul insists that we can serve God wherever we are when he first calls us, and I believe that. God calls each of us at the time that he needs us. It took me over 30, almost 40 some odd years to accept my calling. It's a lifetime. Over 30 years to accept my calling. Because I wanted to live life. I wanted to have a husband. I wanted to have children. I wanted to go to school. I wanted. Calls you. You need to answer. Because it can change the trajectory of your life. Let's get into chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. And it says this, now concerning these things to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. You better speak it, Pastor. Whew. Thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. But even if there are so-called gods, them little g's, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, to whom are all things and through whom we live. Hallelujah. However, there is not in everyone the knowledge, for some with consciousness of the idol until now eat it as a thing to offer to an idol. And their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat or if we the better, nor if we do not eat, we are the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. Anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol temple, will not the conscience of him who's weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will not again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, 1 Corinthians 8 and 1. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. God wants us to keep learning about him and his ways, not merely to add to our storehouse of knowledge, but to better serve him and his people. Knowledge plus love equals a powerful team. 1 Corinthians 8 and 6. There is no God like, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things. And we for him and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. And it says, Paul often speaks of the Father, the Son, in equal but complementary ways. We serve one God through one Lord by one Spirit. Say it with me, y'all. We serve one God through one Lord by one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 8 and 11, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? Paul teaches us that love never insists on its own private convictions. If the exercise of those convictions damages a fellow believer, love always desires the best for those it loves, even if that means self-denial. Come on now, God. We got to follow his way and his will, because it is not about us. It is about Jesus. It is about love. And it's about his sacrifice for each of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sake, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows shall plow in hope, and he who thrashes in hope should be partakers of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of the right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endures all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offering of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will I have been entrusted with a stewardship, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law are without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Thus when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And as Dr. Stanley gives us a life lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he gives us verse 22. And it says, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Paul never compromised his convictions or his calling, but he was more than willing to find common ground and meet his audience wherever they happened to be. More than anything, he wanted to lead people to life in Christ. So in other words, Paul didn't stay within the synagogue walls. Paul was an apostle. He was everywhere, all over Ephesus, Corinth. He was in Athens. He was all over building the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus. He was over doing whatever he could to save as many souls as he could. And he would not allow anyone, like in Malta, he did not allow them to make him into a god. Because remember, he started the fire and was bit by the viper and didn't die. And they wanted to make him a god. He's like, no, I'm not. And we can't allow, you know, there's so many times that we have some of these folks out here that want to put themselves on pedestals. There's only one God. We are all fallible. We are all human beings. We work and we run the race to win the prize, to walk through the narrow gate. And as Dr. Stanley says from Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:24, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And that's the prize, which is heaven. We will not accomplish much in life if we do not have a clear purpose and mission in mind. The only way to consistently hit a target is to take careful aim. What is your own life mission? Something to think about. It is a great privilege to serve the Lord, but it is also our solemn duty. The amazing thing is that God has promised to reward us richly for doing nothing but what we ought to do, which is to praise the name of the Lord and to bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Not mine, not yours, but God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. And then Paul says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust, after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become adulterous as was some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Not let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and was destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest ye fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel, after the flesh are not those who eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar. And a life lesson is this. And 11. And we're going to read it one more time. Now, all these things happened to them as example. They went through it because they was a mess. Didn't appreciate the blessing of freedom. And this is what it says. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And this is what Dr. Seeley says. Everything in the scripture exists for our example, warning and admonition. We are to note what God's people did in the past and how God reacted to them in order to move ahead in our own walk of faith. And we better understand that the destroyer is here in this land. Over 650,000 people have died in this nation from a horrible plague called COVID. And we better stop and understand that God will not be mocked. We better get it together that God is in charge, not us. And I say it, not science, not anybody, but God. But God did give us scientists to come up with a vaccine. Each person has to have that own conviction on whether they want to be given a vaccine or not. That's between you and God. But understand, God is in charge of everything. Whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, if it is your time, it is your time. But the only one that can determine your time is God. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. We got to bless the name of the Lord in everything. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous rush in. We got to rush in to be in the presence of God. And as I say every Sunday to you, and I say it again today, don't go just anywhere to church. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If you go in the church and this book, this basic instruction before leaving earth is not picked up, is not opened up, all you have is the praise and the worship. And you have somebody get up and give you a sweet lovey-dovey word that they wrote that didn't come from the Word of God. Your Bible up and find you a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If the only thing that pastor can preach about is prosperity, find you a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Because God is in charge. Not man, not me, not you, but God. And this is a word from our sister in Christ on yesterday and today. And this is what Sister Carolyn in Carolyn's Gift told us yesterday. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Come on now. Give all of your cares and worries to God, for he cares for you. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And for this morning, the more you fill your heart with the word, act on it. and speak it out in faith, more things will start to happen for you in your favor. Hallelujah. Have a spiritual Sunday family. And as always, keep God first in everything that you do. And again, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Give God glory, honor, and praise today and always. And as we pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of our matchless Savior. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed day. It is a wrap. It's time to go to church. It's time to go to work. Have a blessed day, family. And please, God willing, join me tomorrow morning as we continue in the Word of God, as we move forward in God's Word. Be blessed and have a great day. It's a wrap.